study. We've been teaching through Revelation verse by verse this year on Wednesday nights. We've done some lessons in Sunday school also, and that's what we're doing this morning. We'll continue, Lord willing, on Wednesday night in December and hope to finish the book by the end of the year. That's the plan anyway. But we've come now to the end of chapter 18. We're going to finish chapter 18 beginning in verse 20. And we're going to also cover the first six verses of chapter 19. Now, chapter 17 and 18 concern God's judgment on Babylon. And the first one-world religion and government was established by a man named Nimrod. We read about him in Genesis chapter 10. He was in the 13th generation from Adam. Just happened to be the 13th generation. That number 13 is associated with the Antichrist. We read a clear passage on the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 13. But Nimrod's a type of the Antichrist, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. It's the fountainhead of all idolatry. God judged Babel. You read about it in Genesis 11. Later, the city of Babylon flourished under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. But God judged Babylon after He used them to judge His people. And there's prophecies about God's judgment on Babylon in Isaiah and Jeremiah and so on. But there's things said there in those prophecies that haven't been fulfilled yet. There's another Babylon to come. There, in prophecy, you have a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. There were things that happened at that time historically with Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, but there's a Babylon to come, and the destruction of that, as described in Revelation, fits some prophecies like in Isaiah 13, and Jeremiah 15:51. So it's important to understand that. And understand this too, that the religious system of Babylon, though the city hasn't always been there down through history, the religious system that comes out of Babylon has continued throughout history. You can trace it. Paul said in his day, he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And that mystery of iniquity is associated here with mystery, as it said in Revelation 17:6, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. It finds its expression today in the Roman Catholic Church. The Babylonian religion is seen clearly in the Roman Catholic false religion. So many connections. There was a man named Hyslop, Alexander Hyslop. He wrote the book called Two Babylons. Not easy to read. You got to really, think and work through it. But he shows you all these connections with Catholicism and going all the way back to Nimrod, the Tower of Babel. But the Roman Catholic religion is one of the daughters of this whore. It's not, in other words, what we're reading about in Revelation 17 and 18 is not the Roman Catholic Church only. That's just part of it. This thing is bigger and older than the Roman Catholic Church. So that's why I haven't spent a lot of time. Most commentaries will give you a lot of information on this as it concerns Roman Catholicism. But I believe that's applicable. But I just believe it's bigger and it's older. Obviously Roman Catholicism will have a part in the end times, but it's more than that. It's more than that. I've been very surface with this, just trying to get through the basics, but you can spend a lot of time studying these things out. The literal city of Babylon will be rebuilt. The Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18 is not Rome, it's Babylon. If you take the scripture for what it says, the woman is a symbol for Babylon. You can't have a symbol of a symbol. You don't have a woman being a symbol of Babylon, and then Babylon being a symbol of Rome. In other words, this is a literal city of Babylon that will be rebuilt and made to prosper, as these chapters clearly teach. There is a city over there now, but it's not the city that will be in the tribulation. Look in Revelation 17 and verse number Revelation 17 and verse number 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, and it's talking about Babylon, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Well, there's no Babylon over there today that's reigning over the kings of the earth, but there will be. There will be. I take it literal is what I'm trying to tell you, okay? The angel interpreted the vision in Revelation 17 for John, so we don't need to try to interpret what the angel already interpreted. The woman on the beast is Babylon, okay? So, it will be the greatest days of Babylon in the tribulation, but God is going to bring absolute and eternal judgment upon her. And it'll all be fulfilled. It'll all come to a head. It'll all come to a climax. He'll judge her not only for her sins in the future tribulation, but going all the way back down through history with this mother of harlots and the corruption that she has wrought in the earth. So, let me remind you of an outline on chapter 18 of Revelation. Revelation 18, and I gave you this outline last time, but I changed the fourth point. So this is a revised version of the outline of Revelation 18. You have the announcement of judgment in verses 1 through 3. The appeal to God's people is found in verse 4 to 8. In Revelation 17, verse 4, it says, Revelation 18 in verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. And so down to verse 8, that's what we're dealing with. And then God telling his people to separate there and why he's judging her and so on. You get down to verse 9, from verse 9 to 19, we see the agony of the world. Three groups are mentioned, the kings, the merchantmen, and the shipmasters. And they're in just absolute agony. They're lamenting. They're crying out because of the destruction of this great city. And then the absolute destruction. I think last time I said the attitude of heaven. And by the way, this wasn't my original outline. But I used that outline somebody else had, and they said the attitude of heaven, because it talks about heaven rejoicing over this destruction. And that's true. That's what it says in the beginning of verse 20. But what's dealt with primarily from verse 20 to 24 is this emphasis on how she'll be no more. I mean, absolute destruction of Babylon. So let's pick it up now in Revelation 18, verse number 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers. That word voice there sometimes is used in the sense of just a sound. For an example, look in chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Voice, singular, a great voice, but it says of much people. You heard the sound, in other words, of much people in heaven. And so the voice of harpers, he's hearing these harps, the sound of the harps, and the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations. Now, this is emphasized in dealing with this Babylonian system here. It influenced all nations. By thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Now let's make some comments about what we just read here. Notice first of all in verse 20, rejoice over her. I want to again emphasize to you here that the Babylonian religion is represented by a woman. But she's a whore. Now, you've got a woman, the virgin bride of the Lamb, that we'll see later in chapters 19 and 21. And so you have a city that propagates religion. You have Babylon propagating false religion of the devil. You have Jerusalem that propagates the true religion of God. You have the contrast here. But this Babylonian religion is represented by a woman. I said last time, at the end of the lesson, I think, I was kind of in a hurry, and I said something mistakenly. It came out the wrong way. I referred to Nimrod's wife having a so-called virgin birth. That's not what I meant to say. It was supposedly a supernatural conception. Nimrod's wife, Semiramis, according to legend or whatever, she claimed to have a supernatural conception of a child named Tammuz, and that's connected with sun worship. But after Nimrod died, his wife had been in an adulterous relationship, and Nimrod died, and to continue in power, she claimed that the baby she was about to have was by supernatural conception, and it was Nimrod being born and coming back. And so you have this issue, you have this image of a woman with the child and the supernatural conception. And you have things like that predate. You have the image of a woman with a child, and you have some things that predate the birth of Christ, but that was Satan. Satan got the prophecy from God Himself in Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman would bruise his head. So before Christ ever came, he began to counterfeit this stuff. Okay, so when you look at the Roman Catholic system, you have all these images of a woman with a child. That is not the Mary of the Bible, and that child is not Jesus of the Bible. It's false. It's counterfeit. In Roman Catholicism, true Roman Catholicism, not the watered-down stuff that is around so much today in America, but in true Roman Catholicism, Mary is exalted above Christ. And they believe she was a perpetual virgin, and they basically exalt her as the Queen of Heaven. And you read about the Queen of Heaven in the book of Jeremiah, and it was a false goddess that idolatrous Jews had worshipped. But this thing, like I said, if you will look at what the Catholic Church teaches about Mary and so on, and you study all that out, you see they have some things from the Scripture, but they mix in a lot of false religion into it, and so a little leaven leavens the whole lump, and it's just a counterfeit, corrupt system. People think, oh, it must be okay, just talking about the Bible, talking about Jesus. But that Mary that they worship and that Jesus that they worship is not according to the Scripture. Mary was an honorable woman and a great woman of faith, but she was a sinner that needed to be saved. She was not sinless, and she's no mediatrix, and she's no, you don't go through her to get to God. The Bible said there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to stop for time's sake and deal with all that, but it's just interesting. You go all the way back to Nimrod there in that time and his wife and then the things that happened there. But all down through history with this mystery of iniquity, there's something about the woman representing this false religion. And again, idolatry is likened to fornication. It's spiritual adultery, but it goes hand in hand also in the physical realm, because idolatry goes together with immorality. And there have been, for an example, you go in the book of Acts chapter 19 about the goddess Diana. And the Ephesians worshiped the goddess Diana. And she had a great temple there in Ephesus, and there were temple prostitutes. Fornication was part of their religion. I mean, you can just trace this thing, and so there are many daughters to this harlot. She is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Babylon is the fountainhead of all idolatry. Look in Isaiah 47. Flip back to Isaiah 47. And here is prophecy against Babylon. And you'll see some connections between this and Revelation 18. Isaiah 47. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There's no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called, here it is, the Lady of Kingdoms. What is a lady of a kingdom? That would be a queen. And in Jeremiah 44, we read about the queen of heaven. I was wroth with my people, and I polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And Babylon persecuted Israel in the past, and they're going to do so again in the tribulation. And thou sayest, now look at it, and thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever. So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, what does she claim? I am. She's saying, I'm God. Just a few chapters before this in Isaiah, God says again and again, I am, I am. But no, she claims to be, I am. And in Revelation 18, it says she had glorified herself. I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. See, God warned about His judgment on her, but she would not repent. And so the judgment comes. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment one day. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection. Look at it. For the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am. There it is again. And none else beside me. That's what God says. I am and none else beside me. He said that just a few chapters earlier in the book of Isaiah. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, and thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. Babylon in the past was judged gradually. It was a gradual decay. In Revelation, it's a sudden destruction. There's a difference. Stand thou with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers. And by the way, in Babel, the beginning of the kingdom of Nimrod, they built a tower to reach into heaven. That was the Tower of Babel was about idolatry. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. And that's reference to the day of the Lord and the second coming of Christ when he arises as the Son of Righteousness and consumes the wicked and blesses the righteous. Behold, they shall be as stubble. You can read Malachi 4 on that. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee, with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants. You notice that? You see all these connections? With her luxuries, her sorceries, and these things we're reading about in the sudden destruction, that matches Revelation 18. And the merchants are mentioned in Revelation 18. Even thy merchants from thy youth, they shall wander everyone to his quarter. None shall save thee. All right, back to Revelation. I wish I had time to expound on what we just read, but I'm just giving you the connection there. You can study that out more fully for yourself. But here in Revelation 18. So, contrast, by the way, the lamenting of the world with the rejoicing of heaven. In Revelation 18, about the destruction of Babylon, the men of the world say, alas, alas. Which is, they're sorrowful, they're bewailing, they're lamenting. Three times it says, alas, alas, this great city. But then in heaven, they're saying, hallelujah. You have a fourfold hallelujah in heaven, rejoicing over the destruction of Babylon, the people of the world lamenting, those in heaven rejoicing, and it's the same issue. What a difference in perspective. Jesus said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. That's what he said in Luke 16, verse 15. As heaven is high above the earth, so is God's ways above man's. What a difference in perspective between heaven and earth. the kings, the merchantmen, and the shipmasters, they say nothing about the loss of life. As you go through Revelation 18, they're crying out, they're upset, they're wailing, and they don't say anything about all these people dying in Babylon. Why are they upset? They say why they're upset. It's about their money. Because Babylon was a place that was buying up all their merchandise. As I pointed out to you already, false religion is a very profitable business. And their sorrow is for their loss of riches. The Bible talks about uncertain riches and how riches make themselves wings and fly away. These people were very wealthy, very rich, and in 1 hour it's gone. That kind of reminds me of the crash of the late 20s there that led to the Great Depression. Boy, the roaring 20s. But in 1 hour, boom, that thing came crashing down. And hey, you better not trust in riches, because those things will leave you. And those things don't last. You better trust in God. It says that these kings of the earth and these merchantmen and these shipmasters, they look at the smoke, they see the destruction. Now that's interesting because, for an example, Babylon is not on the sea. It's not on that gulf there, but it's near it. It's in the region. I think it's going to be such a destruction that smoke will go up so much so that people in that whole region will see it. But I think more than that, I think everybody on the earth is going to see it because of the media coverage. This is going to be the center of world commerce. This is going to be the great city in the tribulation period. And when it's destroyed suddenly in 1 hour, there's going to be plenty of footage. And everybody on the earth is going to see that and lament because of the loss of riches that result. But it mentions here in the passage we read in Revelation 18 about the blood in verse number 20. Talks about God avenging the holy apostles and prophets, and then also the blood. He mentions in verse 24 the blood of prophets and of saints and so on. All that's going to be avenged. That's been a big issue in the book of Revelation. Remember back in chapter 6 under the fifth seal in verse 9, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge them? Dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" White robes were given unto every one of them. It was said to them that they should rest yet for a little season till their fellow servants and also their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Well, that time has come, and God's avenging their blood. But it mentions apostles, prophets, saints, apostles. It's possible, in a secondary sense of the word, that God raises up apostles in Israel in the tribulation, but it's also possible, I just throw this out to you, I'm not saying dogmatically it's so, but I've already shown you some reasons in our study in Revelation why I believe it's possible that perhaps the 12 apostles themselves will be resurrected in the tribulation and have leadership roles in that time. That's possible. Now, I'm not saying that's what it is, and I don't have time right now to stop and deal with all that. I'm just throwing that out to you as a suggestion. But these are definitely apostles, prophets, and saints in regard to Israel, okay? Now, Babylon will shed much blood in the Great Tribulation. But as you study it out through history, she shed the blood of God's people in the past. I mean, you go all the way back to Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter, and I don't think that's just referring to animals there. I think there were some things there in regard to slavery and some things there in regard to what he did to people. But you come up through the time of Nebuchadnezzar and all the bloodshed there. But come up through in the tribulation, much blood of the martyrs will be shed, those that refuse to take the mark and worship the beast. And so God is going to avenge that blood. And even mystery, the mystery of iniquity throughout history, you can see false religion, this Babylonian religion persecuting the saints. But in Revelation chapter 17, in verse number 6, it says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." And that's specifically the martyrs in the tribulation. "And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, in a negative sense, not positive. He's trying to figure that thing out. But then in chapter 16 of Revelation, chapter 16, Revelation 16, verse number 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments. He's going to avenge it. He's going to avenge it, and He's going to do what He said He would do concerning this destruction. In Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 47, Therefore, behold, the days come that I'll do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven, the earth, and all that therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon, now look at this, verse 49, as Babylon hath caused the slain of who? Of Israel to fall. So at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. But in reference especially to Israel, because that's what this book of Revelation is about. God consummating and finishing His prophetic program with this nation of Israel. Now notice in Revelation 18, verse 20, Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Notice that they are, these martyrs, God's avenging the blood, their blood, and this is before the second coming, and there's not going to be that first resurrection, as it's called in Revelation 20, until the second coming. So even before Christ comes, you have these martyrs in heaven rejoicing. So that along with many other passages refute the false doctrine of soul sleep. John under the fifth seal saw souls and they were crying out upon death. There's the soul is in a disembodied state, but it's conscious, awaiting resurrection of the body. But they're rejoicing. There are souls of the martyrs in heaven rejoicing, and they're conscious. They must be conscious if they're rejoicing. And they're in heaven, and it's before their resurrection. Then this issue of the mighty angel, the symbolic action of the mighty angel shows how sudden and violent Babylon's fall will be. It will be, and it's emphasized three times in Revelation 18, in one hour. He takes this millstone and casts it into the sea, and it's a violent, sudden destruction. And that compares with Jeremiah 51, verse number 60, so Jeremiah wrote in the book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, When thou comest to Babylon and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. Thou shalt say, Thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil thou bring upon her. They shall be weary. Thus far the words of Jeremiah. And God did judge Babylon in the past, but there has been a city there down through history after that. But it's going to be prospering in its greatest days are yet ahead in the future, and God's going to judge it permanently. In other words, the permanent and final destruction of Babylon hasn't happened yet. It will happen. And so you see the connection here. That book was tied to that stone and cast in that river Euphrates, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if it was still there. God said that there are four angels bound in the river Euphrates that at a certain time are going to is going to be involved in leading an army. You read it, remember, in the book of Revelation when we studied that back in, what was it, what chapter was that? 9? Brother Norton, I know you know. You got to help. Yeah, here it is, chapter 9. 9:14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which were bound the great river Euphrates, four angels were loose, which are prepared for an hour, for a day, and a month, and a year for the slave third part of men. In other words, it wouldn't surprise me at all if that book was brought out of the Euphrates and the fulfillment of its prophecies were fulfilled in the future tribulation. It may not literally be there, but you see the symbolism here of casting it into the waters. You see the connection with Jeremiah 15 and Revelation 18. And so God had warned and warned and warned, but they would not repent. And God was pouring out plagues in the tribulation, and they would not repent. They continued in their sorceries and their fornications and so on. And so now God is bringing that sudden and complete destruction that He said He would bring. Notice it said, five times in the verses we read, no more at all. Five times. Five is the number of death. No more at all. Five times. That, in other words, he's describing how this is going to be an absolute destruction. It will be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Then he mentions all these things about the music and the work and family life. People getting married. None of that. It's going to be completely gone. No more at all. No more at all. Five times. It's emphasized. No more at all. But then, for an example, do you notice verse 23? In the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Well, how else would John describe electricity? By this time, by the way, they could be going just by candles after all the plagues had been poured out and so on. But you see, John was a first century man, and although he was transported to the future to see these things and write the book of Revelation, he still used first century vocabulary. Of course, he wrote by inspiration of God. But you understand, down through history, if God would inspire John to put electricity there, that the power went out, nobody would have understood it until recent times. So the Bible is written for all ages, you see. But he's talking about, it's the power is going out. He describes it as the light of the candle. By the way, look at verse 13. Talking about the merchandise at Revelation 18:13, the merchandise of Babylon. And it says, chariots, and slaves, the souls of men, chariots. Well, that's your BMW, your Jaguar, and your whatever, right? Chariots. Well, how else would John describe an automobile? So, at any rate, I just find that interesting. But the nations will be deceived. That's the last thing it says in chapter 18. We'll read the first verse of chapter 19 and close. But it said in the end of verse 23, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. So, Babylon's miracle-working creatures will be empowered by devils. The Antichrist himself and the false prophet, they had these signs and lying wonders. And remember in chapter number, in Revelation 16 and verse number 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. This is the unholy trinity. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle that great day of God Almighty. Deception there from these devils, and they use miracles. And again, I remind you, and I've emphasized this, that never in this Bible are miracles alone proof of God working. Okay? It's the truth of God that you discern, by which you discern what's of God and what's not of God. There have been miracle-working people in the Bible. You go back to Exodus there and the magicians of Pharaoh. And they did some of the same wonders that Moses did, but they were of the devil. People have this mindset that if they see something supernatural, it's of God. Not at all. You better check it by the Scripture. If a guy's doing miracles but he's not preaching the gospel, he's of the devil. And that's very clear, and we've got to understand that. And so in Revelation 18, verse 2, it talked about Babylon. It said that Babylon the Great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. By the way, he talks about in this passage about doubles, three times in verse 6, that she's going to get double for her sins. It's interesting to note that Israel is going to be blessed double, according to prophecy, but Babylon's going to be judged double. And I thought more about that thing of double, and it fits with what he says. Babylon the Great is fallen. See, it's the religion and it's the city, and it's judged. All right, chapter 19, we'll just read the verse and say a couple things and close. We have this issue of the rejoicing of heaven. Remember it said in Revelation 18:20, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven." Well, here we have it in chapter 19, verse 1 to 6. "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged..." There's that word again. I wish we had time to... You can trace that word and the references to it and what God promised to do here concerning this. But taking vengeance. "He hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts..." And that's the last mention of these in the book of Revelation. We've seen them several times throughout our study. "The 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Omnipotent is all power. Alleluia, with an A there, is the reason why it's spelled that way is because of being from the Greek. It's the same as hallelujah, which the word hallelujah is a compound Hebrew word meaning praise ye the Lord. It occurs 28 times in the Bible, just 4 times in the New Testament, all 4 right here in what we just read. The first few references correspond with the last references. Look at Judges 5:2. First reference to praise ye the Lord in the Bible. "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel." How about that? That's the first reference. Look what we just read about the last, in the last. "When the people willingly offered themselves." And then Psalm 104:35, "Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more." Doesn't that tie in Revelation? No more at all? There'll be no more at all? "Let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord." We usually think of praising God and just in the context of His goodness to His people, and certainly there, that's appropriate and right, and we see passages on that in the Psalms. You see in the Psalms, "Praise ye the Lord" in the context of His goodness and blessing to His people, but His judgment on the wicked demonstrates His righteousness, His holiness, His justice, and God's people are praising Him for the judgment and for avenging their blood. Praise ye the... We wouldn't think of, especially modern-day Christians today, they wouldn't think of praising the Lord for judging Babylon like is described right here. But it's God's holiness, it's His righteousness, it's His justice. So heaven is rejoicing. I believe it's the same ones that cried out for vengeance, mainly martyr tribulation saints. But we also, I believe, Old Testament saints, kingdom saints, the 144,000 that were raptured in the middle of the tribulation, they're all up there. They're going to be rejoicing. The body of Christ, the church in this present age, may be included in this rejoicing multitude because we know we're in heaven at this time. We are raptured before the tribulation. But there's praise, there's worship, and it's got to do with God fulfilling His word, doing what He said He would do. You see, this Babylon, they're so thankful and they're rejoicing because this Babylon had to be destroyed before God can bring in His righteous city and set up His kingdom.